next Saturday, we're going to be having a mikvah. And we're going to learn what that means. It's an immersion service. And I just want you all, as I go through this message today, just ask the Lord, is this something that you would want me to participate in? Maybe you were only immersed as an infant, which I don't believe in infant immersion, that you need to be an adult, cognizant, understanding what you're doing. Maybe as you're coming into a new area of your life and you've been away from the Lord and you're coming back, you want to renew yourself, this is a good thing to do. Maybe you've been in a church all your life and now the Lord has sent you into Messianic Judaism, a Messianic synagogue, and you feel a new calling on your life and you want to go through these waters of cleansing, that's a good thing. So as we go through this today, just be open and ask the Lord how or if he would want you to participate. And if so, we have the sign-up sheet on the back. And it's going to be a wonderful time next week, not just a time we're all together and being with one another, but a time of fellowship and food and recreation. It's going to be a wonderful time. Let me start off with a little story. And when you hear this, some of you might say, goodness, why is he even talking about that? Or that's disgusting. Or that's gross. Okay? Now, I think many of us have heard of Jeffrey Dahmer before. Jeffrey Dahmer was a convicted murderer. Not only that, he did horrific things to the people he murdered. He actually ate his victims. Now don't hang with me there, because there's something behind all of this, okay? And you don't really get much more heinous than that. He was given 16 life sentences. Never, ever to be out of prison. But while he was in prison, he met with a minister from Madison, Wisconsin, named Roy Radcliffe. And after meeting with him for a period of time, Jeffrey Dahmer turned his life over to Yeshua. And then he was immersed. He was baptized while he was there in prison, knowing that he would never leave that place alive. He had nothing to gain in this life at all, but everything to gain in the life to come. Now, some of us may frown or scoff at what we call jailhouse conversions. But within a short period of time, after he was immersed, people noticed a different spirit in him. Whereas before, it was really an evil spirit, a spirit, even a possession, because what normal person would do something like this unless they were possessed? But after his immersion, there was something different that took place in his life. The writer about his life said there was like a Christian spirit, a godly spirit, a Holy Spirit that entered into him. And as a result of it, his father and those who he wrote to noticed a big difference in him. And his father, who had long left the church, turned his life over to the Lord again and was restored back to the kingdom of God. Also, Jeffrey Dahmer's younger brother also had a change and a conversion experience of his own as a result of all of that. Now, sadly, Dahmer was murdered in prison by a fellow inmate shortly or a few months after the time that he was actually immersed. And at his memorial service, along with his own family and a number of believers who were there, there were also some of the family of the victims of his cruelty of what he did there as well, as they saw the change in his life. Now, this may have been Jeffrey Dahmer's last chance for repentance, and he took it. But many of us think that he shouldn't have been given another chance. There are those who said, no, for what he did, he should not have been given another chance. There were people who said, he didn't deserve it. And that's true. He didn't deserve it. But you know what? Neither do we deserve another chance. We were sinners. While we were yet sinners, the Messiah died for each and every one of us. We didn't deserve a second chance. We didn't. But God gave us another chance. So next Saturday, on September 5th, we're going to have an immersion service, known in Hebrew as mikvah. And in order to fully understand this whole principle of immersion, I'm going to share scriptures from both the first covenant and the second covenant so that we can find out what this practice really means and for what purpose it was established and ordained. Now, in the Greek, the verb baptizion is the source of the English word baptize and the word Baptist. And its root meaning here is to dip or to soak or to immerse into a liquid so that the thing that's being dipped takes on the quality of what is being dipped in. So the one being dipped takes on the quality. It's an immersion. It's not a sprinkling. It's an immersion so that you take on the quality of the thing that you're being immersed in. But to understand what baptizion means, we need to look into the Jewish background into this, because it's really a Jewish thing. And according to the Torah, the five books of Moses, one had to be ritually pure before he could enter the temple or the tabernacle area. And ritual purity could be lost in a number of different ways. The means of restoring this purity before God was through the washing in the water of cleansing. And it was called a water of cleansing. And a quick review in the book of Leviticus shows how frequently this matter is really mentioned. It's mentioned many times. And in fact, in the writings of the Jewish people in the Talmud, there's actually six major divisions of the Talmud, and one of the major divisions is called taharot, or cleansings. And this whole portion, this whole section of the Talmud, you know, major big writings, is devoted to this ritual cleansing and what it does in our life. Now, in both covenants of Scripture, the first covenant, the second covenant, immersion was an ordinance. And an ordinance is a direction or command that was given by an authority, such as God or one of his servants. If you have your Scriptures with you today, and I hope you always carry them with you, I remember the commercials for American Express that used to be on TV all the time. It says, don't leave home without it. Well, we shouldn't be leaving home, especially if you're coming to services, without your scriptures.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. So we read in the book of Numbers, chapter 19 and verse 1. It says that the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the requirement of the Torah that the Lord has commanded. Ordinance here. And he goes on in the entire chapter dealing with the water of cleansing. This whole chapter 19, the water of cleansing, for the purification from sin. Verse 10 says that this will be a lasting ordinance both for the children of Israel and the aliens who are living among you. I just saw someone smiling there. Yeah, you didn't know there were aliens living among you, right?
That's right.
Well, the scripture says so. But these are actually people from the other nations. Okay, clarification there. Verse 13 says, whoever fails to purify himself defiles Adonai's, the Lord's tabernacle. That person must be cut off from Israel because the water of cleansing has not been sprinkled upon him. He is unclean. His uncleanness remains on him. And verse 21 says, this is a lasting ordinance for them. So again, it keeps emphasizing a lasting ordinance. And that means forever, for generation upon generation, forever. Now, this principle of cleansing from impurities is also mentioned in the prophet Ezekiel. And in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, and starting at verse 24, Ezekiel 36:24, we read these words. But here it takes on a little bit different, a new context. It says in Ezekiel 36, starting in verse 24, for I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. And I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all of your idols. And I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove from your heart of stone, or I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit, my ruach, my breath in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. There's a lot in this verse here. But he promises us that he's going to pour these waters of cleansing upon us. And this is what it's going to do. It's going to give us a new heart. In other words, as it says here, he's going to take our heart that's been wounded, our stony heart, our heart with calluses and scabs upon them, and he's going to remove those scabs and those scars and those cuts, and he's going to reveal a nice, fresh, soft, beating, warm heart of flesh. And not only that, he's going to remove that spirit that was upon you, like he did with Jeffrey Dahmer, remove that spirit, which was an ungodly, an unholy, an evil spirit, and he'll put a new spirit in us. God wants to do that for each and every one of us. Now, this scripture from Ezekiel not only mentioned cleansing from impurities, but also speaks of regeneration. It speaks of transformation. We're going to be regenerated, transformed. God will give us a new heart. God will give us a new spirit. He'll put his spirit inside of us. And this leads us into the second covenant understanding of immersion. Immersion was to cleanse us from impurities and also to transform us by the power of the Ruach Elohim, the power of the Spirit of God, the living Spirit of God. Now, immersion in the second covenant deals not only with ritual purification from sin, but cleansing from a life pattern of sin. In other words, cleansing you from habitual sin. Now, there's a lot of us who have habitual sin. That means sin that we just keep doing over and over and over again. Sin that we just keep repeating and repeating, and we say, Lord, I don't want to do it anymore, and we do it again. Then it happens, and we ask for his forgiveness, and then we do it again. And we keep doing it again, habitual sin. Furthermore, immersion is an essential element in the life of a believer because it's a testimony of a believer's faith and union with the Messiah Yeshua in our death to sin and our resurrection to new life. And really, that's what it is, death to sin, resurrection to new life. It's an outward sign of an inward work of God. We outwardly cleanse ourselves in these waters, but inward, God is doing some special work. In the book of Mark, chapter 1 and verse 4, Mark 1, 4, Yochanan Hamadbil, John, the immerser, who came immersing, he came preaching an immersion of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Prior to water immersion, repentance needed to take place. It was necessary for the people to make a radical change in their lives. There needed to be a deliberate turning from sin to righteousness. Turning from your sin, turning to righteousness. This kind of goes along with the message for Teshuvah last week, turning from sin and turning to God. God grants us forgiveness when there is repentance on our behalf, when there is sorrow for the sin, and there's a determination within us to lead a godly and a holy life. So I'm going to cover some of the basics here, some of the questions that people have about this, so that you have a good understanding of this whole thing. So why should we have this ordinance of immersion? And I'm going to go through A, B, C, D, E. Okay? A, Yeshua commanded it. Mark 16, 16 reads, "Whoever believes and is immersed will be saved." Matthew 28, verse 19 says, "Therefore go and make Talmudim, students or disciples of all nations, immersing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." So first we see Yeshua commanded it. Second, we see Yeshua himself, this is B, Yeshua himself was immersed. We read in Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, Matthew 3, 13 through 17, these words. "Then Yeshua came from Galilee to the Jordan to be immersed by Yochanan. But John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be immersed by you, and do you come to me?' And Yeshua replied, 'Let it be so for now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness.' Then John consented. And as soon as Yeshua was immersed, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Ruach Elohim. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven," this is known as the Bat Kol, the voice of heaven, "said, 'This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased.'" So if Yeshua was immersed, being God, but being man as well, then I think it's something that we as well need to do. And notice something here. We were talking about this yesterday during Shabbat that we had at the house. Was Yeshua filled with the Spirit of God before he was immersed? Or did it just happen while he was immersed? But you, if you read the scripture here, you know, he was sent from God. He was the Son of God, sent from heaven. But he also was born of Alma, born of a virgin, born of a woman. So he had the earthly characteristics. He was a son of man. Spoke of himself many times as son of man. But it says here also that when he was immersed and he came out of the water, that the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God, came on him. And that is what allowed Yeshua then to be able to enter into his ministry. He was 30 years old at the time. He had not yet entered into ministry, but after being immersed and the Spirit of God coming upon him, he was now endued, now filled with the Spirit, so now he can do the will of God, carry on in the ministry that God had for him. So it's clear here the Spirit had not yet come upon him. And we find that many of us say, how can that be? He was God. He was God. The scriptures are very clear here. But we forget he was a man. Came in the form of a man. He had to go through everything we had to go through. And this is one of the things that we need to go through also to be immersed. And also we need to be have God's filling in our life as well. Now I'm going to go off track here for a second, because I also talked about this at dinner last night, that the Spirit of God comes upon you when you receive Yeshua as your Lord. That's when God's Spirit comes upon you. But a lot of times, although God's Spirit is in there, it's not actively moving in our life. And I believe that when we go into the waters of immersion, that I do believe something special takes place in our life. It's not just an outward sign of something that took place inside. I believe that God also does something. There is a renewal. There is a refreshing. There is a transformation, because that's the context of the meaning of it from the first covenant of Scripture. When you were ritually unclean or impure, or you were separated from God, you were went through the waters of immersion, as it talks about. Tahor, you were unclean. That restored you to right relationship with God. And that carries into the second covenant of Scripture as well. So I encourage you, if you need that cleansing and that refreshing and that renewal, I think that is a time and a place to allow it to take place in your life. C, the apostles themselves commanded it. We read in Acts chapter 2, verse 37 through 41, and I mentioned this as well last week, I think. I think I mentioned some of this last week, but anyway, it says in Acts 2, verse 37 through 41, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Shimon Kepha, they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Shimon Kepha, Peter, replied, repent and be immersed. They go together, repentance, followed by immersion. Every one of you in the name of Yeshua the Messiah for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to be immersed to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, but I believe these all things work together. Receiving the repenting of your sins, receiving the Lord, being immersed, being filled with the Spirit, this is all a process that we all go through. And if you have not been immersed, or you've been away from God, this is the time and place. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Oh, brothers and sisters, I tell you the same thing. Save yourself from this corrupt generation. Oh, my Lord, the generation that we're in today is so evil and so corrupt. Save yourself. Those who accepted his message were immersed, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. 3,000. And let me tell you, these were Jewish people. Yeshua came to the lost sheep of Israel, and the early believing body, the apostles, were sent to the sheep of Israel, the lost sheep. These were 3,000 Jewish people. There were many Jewish people who received the Lord during the time of Yeshua. D, if we love him, we will keep and obey his commandments. John 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. If we truly love God, we will do what his word says. E, we validate our faith by our obedience to his word. We read in James chapter 2, verses 17 through 18, these words. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. In faith, we act in obedience to God. It's a physical thing that we have to do. So who is this ordinance for, this immersion ordinance? It's for those who repent, those who have a change of heart and show faith in God. And repentance and faith needs to precede water immersion. You have to repent, and you need to exhibit faith and trusting in God prior to the immersion. Water immersion is an essential part of obedience. It's not an option. If you've never been immersed, being immersed is not an option. You do it in obedience to the Word of God. To refuse water immersion is to live in disobedience to the revealed Word and the will of God. I'm telling you, if you've never done it and you haven't, you have to operate in obedience. So what are the requirements for immersion? Number one, hearing and heeding to the Word of God. Number two, there has to be a conviction within you. Three, there has to be repentance. Four, faith. Five, obedience. Six, there has to be the confession of Messiah's lordship, as it says in Romans 10, 9 through 10, that if you confess with your mouth that Yeshua is Adonai, that He is Lord, that if you confess and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will or you shall be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified. It's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Water immersion involves a confession of faith in the lordship of Yeshua. The prerequisites for immersion are repentance and faith and confession. So this clearly excludes infant immersion. Clearly. Because an infant can't repent. An infant can't express faith. An infant can't confess their sins. So obviously you have to be of a reasonable age and understanding to go through this. Number seven, you have to have a clear conscience. Conscience, as it says in Romans 9:1. I speak the truth in the Messiah and I'm not lying. My conscience confirms it in the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 3:18 through 22 says, for Messiah died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also He went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, when the ark was being built. In it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. A little side note here. Don't waste your time seeing that movie Noah that came out. It's an absolute horrible, horrible, unbiblical, ungodly movie. It's terrible. Don't see it. Yes, I saw it because I need to see what it's about. It's a horrible movie. Rock monsters. Goodness. Crazy stuff in there. Stowaways. There were stowaways on the ark. You know, crazy things. Anyway, in it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes immersion that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from your body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Yeshua the Messiah, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels and authorities and powers in submission to Him. So what is the meaning of this ordinance of immersion? Immersion is an outward act of obedience by which the believer fulfills or completes the inward righteousness received through faith in this death and resurrection of the Messiah. And I have a few scriptures here. I'm going to divide this into death, burial, and resurrection. Dealing with death, it says in Romans 6, verses 1 through 14, and bear with me because these are a little bit longer, but dealing with death. Romans 6, 1 through 14 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were immersed in the Messiah Yeshua were immersed into his death? We were therefore buried with him through immersion into death in order that, just as Messiah was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we died with Messiah, we believe that we also live with him. For we know that since the Messiah was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has its mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves, all of you, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in the Messiah Yeshua. Therefore, do not let sin reign in this mortal body so that you obey your evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been bought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin no longer can be your master, because you are no longer under law, but under grace." The second scripture that had to do with death, now burial. Colossians 2, 9 through 12. Colossians 2, 9 through 12 says, "For in the Messiah all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Messiah you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and every authority. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self ruled by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised by the Messiah. Having been buried with him in immersion, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." Now, I do want to mention here that where it speaks of circumcision, in the first covenant scripture, the covenant of Abraham, that covenant that was established with God was through the physical act of circumcision. That's a covenant between Israel and God, the Abrahamic covenant. But in the second covenant of Scripture, immersion, water immersion, is compared to the circumcision, not of the flesh, but of the heart and the spirit. So the evidence or the covenant relationship that we have is based on a second covenant, which is immersion. So as Abraham was circumcised to establish his covenant with God, we as believers today go through immersion to establish our covenant with God as well. And if you want that covenant with God, then you go through that water of immersion. The third scripture here, or the third thing, deals with resurrection. Colossians 3:1 says, "Since then you have been raised with Messiah, set your heart on things above where Messiah is seated at the right hand of God." Romans 6:4, "We were therefore buried with him through immersion into death in order that just as Messiah was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Also dealing with resurrection, 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore if anyone is in the Messiah, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new has come." And then in 1 Peter 3:21 through 22 it says, "And this water symbolizes immersion that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but a pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Yeshua the Messiah, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, powers, and submission to him. So immersion here is an identification with the Messiah. In salvation, we accept the Messiah's death. We accept his burial. We accept his resurrection. In water immersion, we are identified with this triune act. This death, this burial, this resurrection, this triune act. By immersion, we stand as dead to the old life and world. By immersion, we bury the dead. By rising up out of the water, we rise to walk in the newness of life. Thus, we have the witness here of the blood and the water. Immersion has to do with the circumcision of the heart. Colossians 2:11 says, "In him you were all circumcised, all of you." Talking about male, female, Jew, Gentile, you were all circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by the hands of man, but with the circumcision done by the Messiah, circumcision of your heart. Galatians 6:15 says, "Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is that you are a new creation in the Messiah." Romans 2:29 says, "Circumcision of the heart by the Spirit." And then Jeremiah 4:4 says, "Circumcise your hearts." Circumcision was a sign and seal, as I mentioned, of the Abrahamic covenant. Water immersion is the second covenant, circumcision, made without hands, and is performed by the Messiah, Yeshua, himself. So if you want that covenant relationship with God, like Abraham had through God, through the circumcision of the flesh, then you need to be circumcised by the Messiah in the heart to have that covenant relationship with him. I just want to conclude with one scripture here. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Starting at verse 1 through 12. 1 John 5, 1 through 12. And remember, we have CDs available of any of these messages, but also I'll tell you something that's even better. On our website, all the teachings, you got the last six on there. You don't have one from last week on there yet. But every week's teaching is going on the website, audio teaching. It's there. You just go to it and you can listen to the whole message. It's there. Okay? It's what? Yeah, and you can pause it and take notes or whatever. And you haven't seen the things we've added to the website. We've added a tremendous amount just this week. We added a ton of stuff this week.
Hallelujah.
So you want to look at it, see all the changes. We reorganized a lot of the menu, added a lot of things. So there's a lot of things on there that we put on there to help you and to bless you. Thank you, Lord. 1 John, and let me do say this. I say we because I am French. I'm not French.
It's we.
But anyway, we collaborate on the website. But Bob is our webmaster. All right? He's the webmaster. So he's elder/worship leader/webmaster. Okay? So, anyway.
It's a lot of fun. I'm a techie, so it's...
Yeah. Praise the Lord. And where's Russell? Russell has contributed a number of videos that we have online. The one you took today of all the dancing, you know, I know it's gonna show up in Facebook. I'll see that. We can probably put that on the website because you had a lot big dance thing today. That was good. A lot of things on there. You should see all this stuff. Anyway, 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Anyone who believes that Yeshua is the Messiah is born of God. And anyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. And this is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep His commands. And His commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is a victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Yeshua is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood. Yeshua the Messiah, He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. It is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which He has given about His Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts His testimony. Whoever does not believe that God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony. Did I say that wrong? No?
Not that I know.
Because they have not believed the testimony God has given about His Son. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life. Thank you, Lord. And this life is in Yeshua, His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So I want to encourage you to consider and pray about if God would have you to be immersed. There's many reasons for that. If you've never done it, you've got to do it. If you want to be in covenant relationship with God, you have to do it. If there's you're coming back to God, you're coming back to the Lord, this is a good way to do it. The Scripture equates the outpouring of the Spirit with that as well. So if you have received the Lord when you receive the Spirit, but if you want a fresh outpouring in your life, I believe if you're sincere in faith, trusting in God, believing with all your heart, when you come out of that water, you can be a new creation. You can. God can transform you. God can change you. We read about Jeffrey Dahmer, what God did in his life. Doesn't matter who we were, what we did, we are a new creation in the Messiah, Yeshua. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. The sign-up sheet's on the